I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Tuesday is Tom Brady's birthday. The man is 44 years old and says he feels more comfortable going into this training camp with the Buccaneers than he did a year ago, which spells a lot of difficulty, challenges for the rest of the NFC attempting to unseat the world champs. Happy birthday to one Tom Brady. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Glad to have you with us. Just saw a photo from our friend Steve Futterman of CBS News, who is in Tokyo. He joined us live on the show last week. He has posted photos from inside the gymnastics venue where Simone Biles is warming up. He actually caught a photo of her upside down above the balance beam in her warm-up. So she's already out there. She is competing. So far, so good. You know that she had pulled out of three event finals, the all-around competition, as well as the team competition, even after she'd started. And what she had talked about was a case of what gymnasts call the twisties, which is kind of a loss of orientation in the air. Dangerous, to be sure, if you lose track of where you are as you're tumbling and twisting and flying through the air. So really a disorientation type of a phenomenon. She had posted videos, even in the last couple of days, of her attempting to go through her routines in trying to prepare for some of these event finals. And she was falling, taking the types of falls that are so atypical of her. Not that gymnasts don't fall, but the way she was falling. It's not because she was attempting a difficult skill and just missed. No, it was her feeling like she was completely out of sorts and everything felt so strange to her. So I know it surprised a lot of people that she announced she would compete on the balance beam. If you follow Steve Futterman on Twitter, it's at S Futterman. He's inside the venue and he captured a photo. I mean, it's amazing timing on his photo of Simone Biles upside down on top of the balance beam. So she's in the air. She's upside down looking down at the balance beam. She's about a foot above the beam warming up as they prepare for the event finals, which happens next hour. And while we don't have the ability to watch them on TV live, as NBC is not putting them on TV live, they are on a variety of apps, or we will pass along, with a spoiler alert, we will pass along the results as we get them. But that's second half of the show. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Kind of funny because in addition to Olympics tweets, I'm seeing tweets from all of the different guys who covered the NBA in free agency. They dare not go to bed because news may break while they're sleeping. And it's only midnight on the West Coast. And so there's a lot that could still happen in these first few hours of free agency. It only just began 11 hours ago. On Twitter, A-Law Radio to find me, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. But I mentioned that we're throwing out a question that is specifically about one elder statesman, Tom Brady. Other than GOAT, what's the first word that comes to mind when you hear the name Tom Brady? I actually have friends, acquaintances, I wouldn't call them friends, but people that I know personally who've named their kid or their dog after Tom Brady. Oh, goodness. He certainly is worth all of the accolades. He's worth the trouble that the Buccaneers went to get him, the money that they're paying him. First world champion, first time world champion since 2002, right? And the way that the Buccaneers have completely changed their culture by signing Tom Brady, Bruce Arians says it just took one man. Just took one man. Other than GOAT, what's a word that comes to mind? The first word that comes to mind when you hear the name Tom Brady. And Tuesday is his birthday, so happy birthday to the 44-year-old. Now 44-year-old. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You'll get more details at the bottom of the hour, but the U.S. men's basketball team has advanced to the semifinals. They beat Spain in the quarterfinals of the Olympic tournament. Joining, get this, Slovenia with Luka Doncic already into the semifinals. And so the U.S. was down against Spain for a good portion of the first half, but came back to win despite 38 points from Ricky Rubio, 29 from Kevin Durant in this one, a dozen for Drew Holiday, only 11 for Damian Lillard. But there's a lot of great stars on this team. Of course, Jason Tatum with 13 off the bench. Zach LaVine was also in double figures. The team has played pretty well since that opener. And now we're in a good spot into the semis. Not the case for a team with expectations that are just as sky high or were just as sky high. The U.S. women's soccer team. Now, this was happening as we were on the air 24 hours ago. The U.S. women on the field against Canada. Do you know in 62 meetings against the Canadian women in soccer, the U.S. has only lost four times. Canada with, and this is not an insult, with all of the great athletes that they produce, they certainly do. They're competitive in a lot of sports. Hockey, of course, being their number one. Not known for their women's soccer, let's be honest. Four victories in 62 tries against the Americans, who are dominant on this stage and in this sport, but did not play well at all in this tournament. Really struggled to score. And so congratulations to Canada, who got a penalty kick in the 75th minute. Jesse Fleming, brilliant penalty kick. Now, the Americans were without their number one keeper. She had a knee injury in the first half. But man, the number of opportunities that the U.S. team had to score in the second half, there were long stretches where they never left the Canadian zone. They never left that end of the field. Late, after they had already gone down 1-0, Carly Lloyd bangs a header off the crossbar. And they had so many opportunities, so many point-blank shots, and could not get one past the Canadian goalie. Just couldn't find the right angles. And so they lose in the semifinals. They don't get back to the final, though they will play for a bronze medal instead. But if you were watching the broadcast, whether you're watching it live, because it was literally ending at 6 o'clock Eastern time yesterday morning. So if you were watching it live, you saw the dejection. Carly Lloyd specifically down in a heap on the field, her face buried in her hands. But there were a lot of tears. Megan Rapinoe is the one who did an interview right after and who met the media. And she was also very emotional, but she was very honest about how the U.S. played in this game against Canada and in the tournament.
It sucks, obviously. You never want to lose. You never want to lose in a, world championship. You never want to lose Canada, obviously. You don't want to lose, playing the way that we did. I think every player, in the locker room, has 100 things that we would all want to do better.
She has indicated that they just never played well in this tournament, didn't feel comfortable in this tournament at all. And as much as this women's team is in your face, and they totally are, Now, it's good and it's bad. Actually, it's not really bad in any way. But I know some people consider it to be abrasive at times, that the team is uber aggressive, that they're using their platform as much as possible to push this. Well, it's in the legal system, but to push their lawsuit, to push their grievance for equal pay. And there are a bazillion opinions about whether or not it's fair, it's not fair, how should they be paid, how they shouldn't be paid compared to the men. But I will say this, regardless of what you think about the women's team, it has been it has been a unified group of women who have all come together for common causes, both on the field and off. I am so impressed with how they've supported one another. I'm so impressed with how they've remained unified despite what has been a lot of opposition. And of course, they're the best in the world. Olympic results notwithstanding, this team has nothing left to prove. But something else that dawned on me as I was watching them lose and then kind of processing and listening to Megan Rapinoe, we're seeing probably the last run of this particular core. Now, we'll see what happens moving forward. But for instance, Carly Lloyd is in her late 30s. She's still in great shape, but she hasn't been starting. Would she continue forward with this team? Will she be able to make the team moving forward? I don't know exactly how old Rapinoe is, but she's another veteran who's been on the team for a long time. How about Julie Ertz? Zach Ertz's wife. Again, these women have nothing left to prove, nothing at all. They have won and won and won. Julie's only 29. Carly Lloyd is 39. Alex Morgan is 32. Rapinoe's 36. And so this likely was considered the last big run for this group of women. They may end up doing World Cup qualifiers together. They may end up doing exhibitions, but it's really difficult to keep a group like this together for a long stretch of time when your major competitions only come up every few years. The Women's World Cup is not until 23, so we're talking about another 2 years before they would be on the major stage. All right, so and that's Australia and New Zealand, in case you were wondering. And so it may be that it's the end of an era, which they would know better than we would. We'll see moving forward, but you can understand why that's yet another reason that this is so devastating.
We got a good feeling in the group and everything, and it, you know, we couldn't unlock it. So it's just frustrating. It's sad because these, you know, only come around every so often. Obviously this one with the long buildup, so it's just, it's a tough one, you know. I think this is a little bit of a tough one to swallow and just kind of feels sad.
Sad and I would say shocking for the United States to lose before the final, to not even get to the final, but also for the United States to go out against Canada. Instead, the Americans will take on Australia for the bronze. And Rapinoe said, hey, it's a medal. It's not the color we were after, but we need to go out there and play as though it is a gold medal game. We don't want to take this feeling home with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mentioned Allyson Felix last hour. So amazing to see her back on the Olympic stage. She's one of my favorites. Already has 9 medals. One of the most decorated track and field athletes in Olympic history. 6 gold, 3 silver. This is her 5th and final Olympics. Now she is a mom to a daughter. And I've noticed that she's done a bunch of ad campaigns, endorsements that allow her to highlight the fact that she is a mom and how important it is to support Olympians, female athletes, who are also taking care of kiddos.
It's been a long wait, but I'm so excited to finally get out here.
Yeah, how did you feel about the time?
I felt good, you know. First one, always nice to get it out of the way and onto the semi.
Last chance to talk to Kenny and to Cammie?
Yeah.
Talked to them recently?
I did before I came out here, and they're just proud of me just for making it.
Don't you love how they ask Allyson Felix to do an interview on NBC immediately after she has run in her heat to qualify for the 400 meters? She's amazing. I absolutely adore her. I admire her so much. Fifth and final Olympics, and she's looking for a 10th medal. What? It's amazing. So let's root for Allyson Felix because she is the best that American sports has to offer, to be sure. And as I say, we're waiting now. Coming up next hour, Simone Biles will compete in the last event in the women's gymnastics competition. These Olympics will be done for all of these athletes after this final apparatus, which is balance beam. In fact, they're done for a lot of them now. Jade Carey's done. Michaela Skinner's done. But here's Simone Biles. I'm so glad we get to see her on the stage again. I'm nervous for her. She's the best gymnast on the planet, no doubt. But I'm nervous because I wonder what's going through her head. I'm so impressed that she's going to attempt to compete. I'm hoping for peace for her as she steps up to the balance beam. Strength, of course, both physical and mental. And joy. I want her to enjoy this because I don't know if we'll see Simone Biles back on the Olympic stage. This may be her last opportunity as well at 24 years old, though not impossible. But she waited such a long time to get back to here, to get back to this point, and everything that she survived in USA Gymnastics, bridging the gap between the previous era, which, of course, was tainted by all of the reports of sexual abuse and the athletes being treated so poorly. And she's chosen to be an advocate moving forward for mental health, but also for change. She's a high-profile athlete that draws a lot of attention. But these games were supposed to be for her joy. They were supposed to be for her to have fun competing in gymnastics again. And it obviously hasn't worked out the way that she expected. But into that void, others have stepped. They've stepped up. We use the adage in sports, next man up, all the time. But it's true in this case as well. Michaela Skinner, who filled in for Simone Biles in the vault final, she was actually ready to return to the United States. She was considering leaving.
We kind of got a text message. Simone was talking to Cecile saying, Michaela can't go home. We might need to have her, you know, compete in case I can't, you know, figure it out in the next couple days. So I decided to stay and train vault in case I needed to go in.
That she did. So she gets the call. She ends up with a silver. Amazing moment. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure you can find it on social media, either Team USA or USA Gymnastics. So the whole next man up mentality, these young women have to stay ready. They have to stay prepared. They didn't know this was going to happen with Simone Biles. And in some cases, these are alternates that weren't even sure they would compete in any events, much less have an opportunity for the finals. And now they get to return the favor because Simone has been in the arena every day, every night, cheering for them. So Michaela says, we're behind her as she takes on the balance beam.
I'm really excited for her. I'm going to cheer on so hard and just really hope that she can medal and just do the dismount of her life. I know she's been trying to work on different dismounts and figuring things out. So it's going to be so cool. And I'm so happy for her.
It certainly has been a decorated Olympics for these gymnasts. They won silver in the team competition even after Simone Biles withdrew. Suni Lee then put together a phenomenal all-around and is the gold medalist. Michaela Skinner, the silver in vault. Jade Carey, the gold in the floor exercise. Suni end up with a bronze in the uneven bars. And now we've got Simone and Suni Lee competing in the balance beam. So I promise to do a spoiler alert if I see any of the results. I'm so proud of them because none of them, including Simone, had any idea how this would play out. They could have crumbled. They could have shied back. They could have seen this news and this turn of events fracture their team. But it's not been the case. In fact, it's been the exact opposite. So they're role models and they're friends, they're teammates, they're supporting one another. And that's meant a lot to me. And also the opportunities that these young women have taken advantage of, they've resulted in experiences of a lifetime. So we'll let you know how that unfolds. I'm going to miss these Olympics when we don't have them on TV anymore during our shows. All right, so here's the question. Tuesday is Tom Brady's birthday. Other than GOAT, what is the first word that comes to mind when I say Tom Brady? And you all know my rules about inappropriate language. It either gets you muted or blocked on social media, so don't bother. You certainly won't see it read on the air or used on the air, so just don't waste your breath or your tweets. First word that comes to mind when I say Tom Brady, other than GOAT. You can also call if you can use appropriate language. 855. Why does Tom Brady bring out such ire in people? You're all jealous. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page as well. I hesitate to check our Facebook page. I just know it's going to be a mixed bag. All right, Frank Reich explains exactly what in the Sam Hill is going on with his quarterback, or the guy he thought was going to be his quarterback, and now who's the quarterback? Oh, dear. So dramatic. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Wentz on first down, looks, gives it off, and then hands it and keeps it himself, and then goes into the end zone for the touchdown. He put it in the belly of Boston Scott, much the way he did on the two-point conversion attempt last week, and then pulled it back and rolled into the end zone for the touchdown. Yeah. What a drive.
When you're drafted in a place like Philly, you have a lot of, you know, high expectations and everything, but obviously the year didn't go as I planned and everything that kind of shook out. But you know, I believe that God has a perfect plan and here we are. And, we're excited. We're excited for this new opportunity and hopefully to start building something special here in Indy and be a part of something special that's already been created.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Carson Wentz is going to need his faith, which is important to him, to carry him through this latest setback. I'm disappointed for him. I can imagine he is so frustrated. The fact that he was looking forward to this new start with Frank Reich, a head coach with whom he's extremely familiar, and the Colts that went out and got him on purpose because of his familiarity with them and with their system. They gave up far more than any other team was willing to, but the Eagles could hold the hard line. It could take the hard line stance because they knew how badly the Colts wanted him, and the Colts were willing to pay the price that it took to bring in Carson Wentz for the now and for the future. But here we are. He's out. Just had foot surgery. Even as Frank Reich returns from COVID protocols. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You hear first the touchdown on the Eagles radio network with Merrill Reese, and then Carson himself talking about his move to Indianapolis. Frank Reich gives us the details. How did this happen?
Plain to see that Carson had an old foot injury, probably a high school injury that was a broken foot sometime in high school that he did not know was broken. And then what happened the other day was in the course of practice, over time, whatever the years, something happens, just the right pressure at the right time, the right movement. All of a sudden, that little broken bone that was in there that was lodged in it comes loose.
And so Frank says this is not something that he did just by stepping wrong in practice last week. Unfortunately, he was almost like a ticking time bomb, right? So he, at any point, could have had this happen. I suppose trying to find glass half full, you could say it's better it happened now than in a game in the middle of the season when he wouldn't have been able to recover. They had considered the rehab option instead went for surgery that happened on Monday. And here's Coach Reich explaining why.
If we rehab, it's going to be fine in a couple weeks, but if it creeps up back in the middle of the season, then you're out for 5 to 12 weeks. That's not going to work. Let's use the front end and hope for the best. In the first 2 weeks after the surgery, it's pretty much do nothing. Just let it do its deal. And then when we really start into the rehab after 2 weeks, in the next week or two, we should start to gain more of a time frame for a return.
So when you think about the Colts and quarterbacks, do you think about Andrew Luck and the fact that he also waited and rehabbed an injury as opposed to having surgery? If I remember correctly, it was a shoulder, and he tried to rehab it instead of coming back. I mean, instead of going through the surgery and coming back that route. And it kept getting re-aggravated to the point where he eventually had to have surgery and felt like he had wasted a bunch of time. And so I'm glad for Carson Wentz. I know in this case of Michael Thomas with the Saints, how frustrated Sean Payton is, because even though he won't give us the details, which I appreciate him not wanting to air the dirty laundry within their organization publicly, but he's frustrated because Michael Thomas likely isn't going to be available for the start of the season. And he says it's because the surgery was delayed. It should have been done immediately when the Saints were eliminated from the playoffs, when they were done last winter. And it wasn't. It was put off. It was about conversations internally. And because it was put off, now he's not ready. And so Carson Wentz is not going to wait. He rolled out and he planted to throw and felt this kind of tweak, this twinge in his foot going back to last Thursday. And Frank says, I keep calling him Frank. Coach Frank Reich says that they have looked at all of the options, but rehab doesn't guarantee that the problem will be fixed. So what does that mean for the Colts?
We asked the two best doctors in the world, what's the time frame? And here's the answer. The answer is the time frame is 5 to 12 weeks. That's the time frame for this injury. That's a big range, okay? And there's no way to know where you're going to fall in that continuum until you get into the rehab process. Now, obviously, we're optimistic and hopeful that we can be on the front end, somewhere towards the front end of that.
You're hopeful, but there's no way to know. He's going to have to sit for a couple of weeks and recover. But then after that, he can start in with the rehab process. Here's one thing that I say about professional athletes who are in their 20s. With all of the resources, with the technology, literally the best doctors and therapists that money can buy, these athletes have every opportunity to come back more quickly than what the average Joe or June would. Not to mention, he's young and he's a world-class athlete. And so theoretically, his physical body should bounce back better than 98% of humans. So I hope for him that it's on the short end. But there's this dread because of what he's been through in his career. There's a little bit of a dread in my stomach, this pit in my stomach where I worry. I really hope that this doesn't last all season. But you think about it, even with the regular season now be extended to 18 weeks, 17 games, there's a chance he could miss. If worst case scenario, there's a chance he could be out until, what, November? Thanksgiving? I guess if you include the preseason, probably not that long. So we're not talking 12 weeks regular season, unless something goes horribly wrong. But if you start the clock, let's say you start the clock mid-August. If you're only 5 weeks, he's back by the end of September. Maybe. But that's best case scenario. I hope it is that. 12 weeks is 3 months. And so if you start the clock mid-August, you're talking about potentially not being back until November, which is scary. I hope that's not the case for him. And of course, for Frank Reich and for the Colts. What do they do in the interim? Well, Coach will explain. He's actually got a guy. We got a guy for that. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You all, I just did something I've never done before in my entire social media history. I know that it probably didn't even get noticed by you on Facebook, but I'm very proud. If you don't follow our Facebook page, you need to. It's named after the show. Really easy to find. And for the first time ever, in honor of Tom Brady's 44th birthday on Tuesday, I figured out how to put a GIF on our Facebook post. Normally, this is the producer's job. I don't deal with GIFs very often. I don't do memes. In fact, I really don't enjoy memes. They annoy me. I like photos. I love emojis. I emote all day long. But I don't normally do our social media with the GIFs. I found one, and it's priceless for Tom Brady's birthday. So check it out on our Facebook page. And we're asking you, other than GOAT, what's the first word that comes to mind when I say Tom Brady? So whether it's on Facebook with a GIF, my first one, it's my virgin GIF, if you must know. On Twitter, A-Law Radio will share some of your answers. Only the appropriate clean ones, though. I don't mind edgy. I don't mind funny. But you know how I feel about your inappropriate, off-color, vulgar language. Don't tempt me. I'll block you.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I can feel my face when I'm with you.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Joe is listening in Chicago.
Hey, you're my late night girlfriend, okay?
What if I don't want to be your late night girlfriend?
It doesn't matter. You are, as of now. Can we go to the movies, you and I, one day?
No.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Good to listen to your show.
Thank you.
Long-time listener. Great. Work at night at the clinic. Listen to your show every day.
Great. Thank you.
I listen to you NBA Finals. Been hooked ever since. You're part of my everyday routine.
I can feel my face when I'm with you.
Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
I can feel my face when I'm with you.
Flashback to say, 6 years ago, maybe. And I was in the newsroom, maybe not 6 years ago, sometime 5, 6 years ago, maybe. I was in the newsroom and we had discovered this particular song and we were playing it in the newsroom and kind of thinking about how we could use it on the show. And someone read us the lyrics in the newsroom. In fact, I believe it was Erica Herskowitz who was preparing for a shift. Doing updates. And now that I know what the song is about, I can't pretend as though I'm oblivious. But for our purposes, I suppose it's catchy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In light of Tom Brady celebrating a birthday on Tuesday, what's the first word that comes to mind when I say his name, other than GOAT? GOAT's too easy. I hate easy. What's the first word that comes to mind other than GOAT when I say Tom Brady? And the reason why I say it's not a milestone birthday, not the birthday, is because he's not 45 yet. He's 44. And he has indicated to us for quite a while that he plans on playing until he is 45 or until he sucks, whichever comes first. His wife, I firmly believe they've made a deal that he can play until he's 45, and after that, he's all hers and belongs to the family. But at this point, despite the fact that she would like him to retire, he still has the permission to keep going. And so at 44 years old, on Tuesday, August 3rd, we know that he is in camp with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Other than GOAT, what's the first word that comes to mind when I say Tom Brady? You guys, your answers are cracking me up. So we're going to get to those. 855-212-4227. I have had to hide or block a few of you on social media. Also on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, James is retweeting some of your answers on our show Twitter. But I promised you, the follow-up question with the Indianapolis Colts and Frank Reich is, if not Carson Wentz, then whom? They brought in Brett Hundley, the veteran who spent some time with the Packers and a couple of other teams, the Seahawks. They drafted Sam Ehlinger out of Texas. they drafted Jacob Eason in the fourth round in the spring of 2020. But you know the old adage, if you have three or four or five quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks, coach.
I had a good conversation with Jacob yesterday. Hey, man, it's your show. Let's go. You know, and you got it. He has to prepare like he's starting week one. And we don't know if that'll happen or not, but he's got to get ready. And we're going to trust him in that process and support him and get behind him and just help him to continue to get better. He's got the right mindset.
For now, because Jacob was in the system last year, he is the guy taking the majority of the number one snaps. But we know the rookie, Sam Ehlinger out of Texas, has also been taking first team snaps. At this point, it's Jacob. But that may change once they go through training camp and preseason. I bet if you're Frank Reich, you are thrilled that they have an actual preseason because you probably would be SOL without it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, anybody thought of Nick Foles? Oh, yeah, everybody's thought of Nick Foles. And so at training camp on Monday, the Chicago media wanted to know from Foles, who is the third string quarterback in Chicago now, whether or not he had spoken to Frank Reich about possibly getting to the Indianapolis job.
Frank Reich is one of my favorite, if not favorite, coaches of all time. He understands me as a player. He understands me as a person. But I haven't had any talks with him. I don't know. I'm a Chicago Bear right now. But I think if he knows me. He understands. I mean, y'all watched the 2017 season in the playoffs where he changed the offense and built it around me, and y'all saw what happened. So he understood my mentality as a player, and he was able to build it around me and put me in a successful position and my teammates. But that being said, they have Carson. And Carson and I have a lot of history. I have a lot of respect for Carson. He's a tremendous player. He's going through adversity once again, but he'll bounce back. And you know what? He might miss a few games, but I know he'll be back out there. But we haven't had any talks. So right now I'm a Chicago Bear, and I'm going to keep slinging it with these third stringers, and we're going to dice them up.
We're going to freaking dice them up. I love Nick Foles. I'm telling you, he is one of my favorite athletes in all of pro sports right now. The man does not, I mean, he cares if he's the third string quarterback, but he's going to go out there with the same mentality. There's a reason why guys love to play with him. Now, we'll hear a little more from Nick Foles about his situation with Chicago moving forward, because, of course, they brought in Andy Dalton, and they're grooming Justin Fields to be the starter there with the Bears, and that leaves Foles on the outside looking in. But just a taste of Nick Foles. We're going to dice him up on this third team. I hope they do. That'd be fantastic. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Looking through some of your tweets about Tom Brady. Tuesday is his birthday. I ask you, other than GOAT, what's the first thing that comes to mind when I say Brady? Chris on Twitter, Nick Foles, Super Bowl 52. Well, you know what's funny that reminds me of? Is back when Tom Brady was part of the Match 2 with Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, and who am I missing? Yes. No, before Rodgers. Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning. Okay, so then Tom Brady. And do you remember there was pouring down rain? They were getting ready. This is May. I think it was May of 2020. Pouring down rain. They're trying to warm up in a deluge, and they're mic'd up. And someone, I don't remember who was asking, maybe it was Charles Barkley, hey, who should caddy for you? And Peyton Manning's nearby chirping, you know, as Tom Brady is like warming up in the background, you know, who would you have caddy for you? And then they ask Peyton, who would you make Tom Brady's caddy? And initially he says Bill Belichick, and then he says Nick Foles. And the reaction from Brady behind Foles is like, oh, that was a low blow. He's often said that the loss to the Eagles in the Super Bowl hurts him worse than how good he feels. I didn't say that right. That he has more emotion and more of a reaction to the loss. He remembers that loss against the Eagles more than he remembers the wins. Now, that may have been eclipsed by what he did with the Buccaneers last season, but it's often, and I would say this about a lot of athletes, me included, maybe it's the same for you. Sometimes the painful losses, the unexpected shocking losses, the defeats, the failures, they stick with you much longer than the wins do, believe it or not. 855-212-4227. John is in Massachusetts. Welcome to After Hours.
Amy.
Hey.
I think something that he uses is nuclear fuel to this day. former sixth-round draft pick out of Michigan.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And he does talk about how that's motivation for him. Even now, does he not talk about the fact that there are teams that passed on him in free agency, and he's using that for motivation? So he carries that chip on his shoulder that so many teams passed on him and left him dangling there in the draft, but also in free agency, that there were teams that thought he wasn't worth it. John,
absolutely.
John, do you hold any? Do you harbor any ill will, or are you thrilled for him in Tampa?
I think the one thing that really sticks in his craw even more than that is that he was 2 minutes and 43 seconds away from taking away the 72 Dolphins' reason to live.
Yes, that one too, for sure,
you
against
thought,
the Giants.
You thought losing Nick Foles was painful. I think coming back in the fourth quarter against a perfectly executed Tom Coughlin-led defensive stand, mm-hmm. and then finding Randy Moss in the end zone to seemingly finally put the exclamation point on that dynasty, and then having it ripped out of his chest,
yes.
by Eli Manning with that impossible grab that was
David Tyree. Nick Foles, David Tyree, the two that haunt him. Yes, John, I'm sorry. There's the music. I have to let you go. Thanks so much for your phone call, Massachusetts. No doubt. He's talked about that before. Those two losses will never, ever, ever let him rest. The ghost of Tom Brady will roam the earth long after he's done playing football. But still, Tuesday, happy birthday, Tom Brady. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.